Kwaba, Ekabo, Jambo, and hello, Bankless Africa.
It's the end of another week, albeit not a great one, but it is time now for Sats and Gwe, where we give you weekly updates on crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent. I am Miss Purple.
And I am Neki.
Your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
The markets aren't looking so good. There has been a serious downturn in the past week, and most of that has been triggered by the, well, incident with FTX, which has seen tens of billions of assets wiped off the board just like that. And this has triggered, well, the claws of another bear and has seen the values of many digital assets and tokens tumbling down. Bitcoin currently sits at $16,849.44, down from last week at $21,272.33, which is about a 20.79% slump in price. Ethereum currently sits at $1,260.59, down from $1,643.15, representative of a 23.28% slump. Solana has perhaps taken the biggest hit of all, currently sitting at $15.52, down from $35.02 last week. Optimism currently sits at $0.9491, down from $1.29 last week, which is representative of a 26.43% slump in its value. The Binance coin currently sits at $284.39, down from $355.41 last week. That's about a 19.98% loss in value. And the Bank token currently sits at $0.007207, down from $0.009093, representative of a 20.74% slump in price from last week. I mean, these are huge losses, pretty huge.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, we've got the national currency, starting off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is at 14.42 cedi to the dollar, which means that the cedi is down by 4.19% from last week's 13.84. The Nigerian naira is at 440.96 naira to the dollar, down by 0.36% from last week's 439.38 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African rand are at 17.24 Luti or rand to the dollar, up by 3.69% from last week's 17.9. The Kenyan shilling is at 121.85 shillings to the dollar, down by 2.2% from last week's 119.23 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 637.25 franc to the dollar, up by 3.47% from last week's 657.04. And with that, we're going to move over to the news of the week, but we're going to start off with some updates from last week. However, we've decided that we're going to give you some recap headlines of some bits of news that we found particularly interesting, either because of their magnitude or because of just how zesty they were and how exciting they genuinely made us feel about the space as a whole. Starting off with the South African supermarket chain Pick n Pay now accepting Bitcoin payments. If you have not heard about that, you can go and listen to last week's Sats and Gwe update and you'll be able to hear more on that.
And particularly interesting is in Zimbabwe, where the country prepares to launch its own e-currency, as it states that it has learned from the mistakes of the Nigeria's e-Naira and will be releasing something phenomenal. We're pretty much looking forward to it. Moving on to the headlines for this week, we'll be kicking off with the FTX debacle, which has pretty much been the talk of the cryptoverse in the past week, and has seen the loss of several billions of dollars of assets. A total of more than $32 billion in market cap and investor funds have been wiped off the table. And it is perhaps one of the worst downturns in crypto history and in the year 2022.
To go much deeper into everything that went on in this update, it is quite a lengthy explanation, but hopefully it essentially covers everything that has been going on. However, please note that there are news that continue to come out every few hours or so, as it is an unfolding story. So we will try to update you as often as we possibly can, either here with the podcast itself, but also through our social media pages, as well as the newsletter and all our other forms of communication. So essentially, this entire situation has been one of the worst things to happen all year, but possibly also in quite a lengthy history of cryptocurrency. Some updates include a supposed hack which happened, or which occurred sometime my nighttime or a few hours ago, which was of roughly $652 million, and they essentially hacked the current funds that were the funds that were in FTX at that time, which were meant to be sent out to customers who had incurred losses. The hack itself seems to be done internally by someone who's perhaps somewhat of an industry newbie, as in someone who's not fully aware what it is that they're doing, not aware of certain, you know, what certain coins you need and certain networks to be able to make the transactions executable, etc., etc. During this hack period as well, the FTX app itself was said to be a Trojan malware. So people were encouraged to delete the app completely from all their devices, as it seemed to be draining people's accounts as well. There was allegedly an account said to be a Bahamas account, also withdrawing other people's funds on their behalf as well. They are said to have been likely bypassing the internal balance transfer blocks by selling NFTs on FTX's NFT marketplace. So essentially, an example is this Bahamas account or other accounts would create an NFT. Then the user who is stuck or has their funds stuck buys the NFT that holds their full balance, as in the balance that shows in their account, but they are unable to withdraw. You then buy the NFT that has that particular full balance tacked onto it. And this, of course, is the display of NFTs, or the use case of NFTs, which when used correctly could turn out to be a hero. Should you wish to, of course, follow all the transactions that we've just mentioned above, we will include the Etherscans that we have come across within the show notes. Be aware, of course, like how we've mentioned earlier, that all of this is developing and some of the stuff is unconfirmed, but is worth mentioning just so that we all keep our eyes on it, because I think we found that this decentralization is not just decentralization of funds or art, but also decentralization of media. I think a lot of us have been dependent quite heavily on Twitter and Twitter spaces in particular to be able to get our information. And that is because it's where, you know, you get the people who are going out of their way to look at these transactions and follow exactly what is going on. But onto the rest of the summary on the FTX debacle. FTX was, of course, one of the fastest growing cryptocurrency exchanges in the world. A lot of investors who believed in the company bought the native FTT tokens, and many users of the exchange held cash reserves there. All of this was wiped out in a blink of an eye when Binance's CZ declared that they were looking to offload their holdings in FTT as Binance, as they no longer felt secure in what they were doing and everything that was going on behind the scenes. Following this, the FTT token, along with the research firm Alameda, which is tied to FTX in various convoluted ways, came under fire when insolvency of all groups and token was discovered, causing, of course, this decline of FTT, along with the more sentimental decline of the market as a whole. Sam Bankman-Fried tweeted on Friday that, and I quote, "I am going to work on giving clarity on where things are in terms of user recovery ASAP," end quote. We have not quite received much more on that, unfortunately. And according to reports, for example, here on the African continent, Kenyan investors had up to 3.9 trillion Kenyan shillings at peak, and they're said to have lost more than 84 billion Kenyan shillings, which is equivalent to $700 million. This is indeed one of the most colossal losses ever experienced, which has seen a combined total of multiple of billions of investor funds wiped out in a seemingly singular deadly blow. It is important to note that FTX.com was based in the Bahamas, which operates under different regulatory frameworks, while the FTX US is, of course, based in the US, hence, you know, them not being as directly affected as FTX.com. However, they are included in the list of countries, or rather the list of firms that Alameda has filed for. Speaking of, there are other African FTX African affiliations that are said to have been filed for bankruptcy as a result of this, including, but perhaps not limited to this following list: B for Transfer Egypt, B Payment Services Nigeria, B Transfer Services Uganda, BitPesa in Kenya, RDC SARL Senegal, South Africa, Tanzania, and Uganda, BT Payment Services in Ghana, South Africa, Uganda, and Nigeria, BTC South Africa, BTLC Limited Tanzania, and Exchange for Free South Africa, BR. Of course, for the full list of the 134 firms, you can see the link in our show notes to from the official bankruptcy filing that was done by Alameda. And of course, some breaking news, not fully confirmed, but this is directly from Reuters. It says that in a subsequent examination, FTX legal and finance teams also learned that Bankman-Fried implemented what two people are describing as a quote-unquote backdoor in FTX's bookkeeping system. This was built using a bespoke software. So essentially, this backdoor is said to allow Bankman-Fried to execute commands that alter the company's financial records without alerting other people, including external auditors. This setup meant that the movement of the $10 billion in funds to Alameda did not trigger internal compliance or accounting red flags at FTX. As I mentioned, there are more news that keep and continue to come out of all of this as we go along. And of course, the other one is that SBF is said to have gotten on a private jet from the Bahamas to go to Argentina. It's not officially confirmed, of course. People are trying to do ample research to make sure, or to rather figure out if this is correct and is it legal? Is he allowed to do that? Is he on the run? Or what exactly is going on? But as we get more, we will continue to update you. It just sucks, you know, because I think some people tend to forget that not everybody is as alert. Not everybody is able to sit for 24 hours or 7 hours even on Twitter trying to internalize exactly what's going on. There are still people in other Discord groups that I'm in and have no idea. Perhaps not no idea. There are ways something is going on, but trying to figure out exactly what that thing is, trying to pinpoint it down to one thing, they have not been able to do that because a lot goes on. And there are people who are not as, you know, fully ingrained within the space as a lot of us listening here today are. And it is a tragedy to have to contend with the fact that there are people here back home, you know, in our villages and our cities and our towns whose lives have been completely ruined because of what happened here. And it begs the question then to say, when are we going to be able to create our own innovations? I do think, you know, just a reminder for everybody that if you do use exchanges, they should be for the reason that I believe exchanges were created for, and that is to allow you to begin the participation within the crypto space. Not necessarily for you to build an entire portfolio on there and to stick around. You know, you go in, you do what you need to do, and you perhaps move your assets elsewhere. And that is not necessarily to say that all exchanges are bad, but it is to say that all exchanges are meant mainly for that. And it's not ideal for your safety and for your security and for you to fully know that the assets belong to you. You will unfortunately, or rather fortunately, need to own the keys to said wallets. But onto our next headline for this week. Kenyan startup Nuzo launches a blockchain-powered e-commerce for Africa.
The first shop-to-earn marketplace for Kenyan digital SMEs has been launched, and the users of the new platform called Nuzo are able to trade Nuzo coins in exchange for goods and services, swap them for other crypto coins, or send fiat directly. Considering the fact that Africa as a continent, especially Kenya, records the fastest growth in terms of crypto adoption, Nuzo is a welcome development and will help drive the success of e-commerce in Africa. I mean, this is huge, bridging the link between e-commerce and cryptocurrency. I mean, there's a lot of similitudes with other cryptocurrencies with this, but what is intriguing about this is that this is from Africa, this is from Kenya. But the issue I feel like a lot of people might have right now is trust. You know, 2022 has been rocky for cryptocurrency, and well, there has been a lot of breaches of trust, the most recent sadly being with FTX. So I feel like a lot of people right now would be pretty skeptical about adopting anything new. But I know that if this is able to successfully take off the ground, it will be definitely huge. And I'm really hoping that innovations like this can spill over to other countries in Africa to help facilitate, you know, retail trade and e-commerce. It's good stuff. And I'm really excited to see this. Moving on to the next headline, an African Web3 firm launches its first NFT project, the Uhuru NFT.
Uhuru NFT, which is a collection of limited Afrocentric NFTs built on the Ethereum blockchain, has launched its first project. The NFT collection visually narrates stories of long-lost African culture and lifestyle. 18th century history events like the West African slave trade are told as 21st century visual digital stories. The NFT collection is a means to build a digital community of African storytellers, artists, and the tech inclined to build and promote innovative ways of curating and recording history, and this time in secure digital ledgers. Beyond just NFTs, Uhuru NFTs is working towards building the Uhuruverse, which is a metaverse where everyone can experience firsthand the African story. Personally, as a storyteller, at first glance, I would be especially interested to, you know, get involved and see what it is that they're doing and, you know, possibly be part of the community. Moving on to our next headline for this week, South African solar power company is paying investors in crypto.
It's really iconic that this is a solar power company and its name is Sun Exchange. Love it. Sun Exchange, a South African solar power company, now gives its investors the option of being paid in either Bitcoin or the South African rand. The adoption of payment mechanisms involving cryptocurrencies was to enable easy cross-border payments for its 35,000 plus users in over 180 countries around the world. Sun Exchange investors are able to invest as little as $4 by purchasing solar cells. With this novel adoption of cryptocurrency payments, anyone and everyone around the world can now invest in renewable energy regardless of economic and geographic barriers. First off, it's pretty intriguing how low the barrier to entry is. $4. It seems too good to be true. I think I'll have to check it out myself. It's fantastic. It seems like a really good deal. I mean, for $4, you'd have the chance to buy into a huge ecosystem for, you know, renewable energy in Web3 with coverage that spans across 180 countries and the current clientele base of at least 35,000 people. And what is novel is the fact that they're seeking to do two things. One, to promote the local currency of South Africa, which is the rand. And two, is also to promote the acceptance of Bitcoin as an acceptable means of payment, which is also great because I know that for most companies, that especially those that have to pay out investor funds, they'd rather do so in dollars. But the fact that they are considering doing this in the South African native currency, the rand, I feel it just goes to show that they have some level of confidence and faith and goodwill in the country. And I think that is good to see that an organization of this size actually believes in the country and also believes in cryptocurrency. It's really good news to hear. Now, moving on to the next headline, Cashlink brings back the Nigerian Naira to Binance.com.
Cashlink is a peer-to-peer payment platform now available on Binance, and it enables easy cash payment mechanisms for its users. Cashlink facilitates the integration of crypto payments into e-commerce platforms by enabling the transfer of crypto tokens in and out of Web3 applications. Cashlink payments are powered by its algorithms that make use of AI to connect users to eligible merchants and then an escrow system to secure transactions by acting as a layer of trust between users and merchants on the network. The announcement of Cashlink's integration with Binance means that Binance will be the second exchange to join the Cashlink network. This is not the only development within the Cashlink network, however, as Cashlink will also be launching a new homepage and a whole brand new look in the coming new weeks. I guess I just have to say that it's interesting to continue to see more innovations. And hopefully this is another innovation and another partnership that brings goodness to the people rather than take it away from them. On to our next headline. Datamint and Alibaba announce Alibaba Cloud, particularly, announced a partnership to accelerate crypto and cloud adoption in specifically Africa and the Latin Americas.
Through strategic partnerships like the one Datamint earlier announced with Yellow Card, Datamint is intending to expand the scope of its business operations while also contributing to accelerated crypto adoption in emerging markets. Through its recently established partnership with Alibaba Cloud, Datamint will be able to bring new possibilities to the over 200 million entities, which would include, of course, individuals and businesses that are currently buying and owning cryptocurrency in frontier markets. By introducing an innovative alliance of cloud technology and Web3, which will bolster security and reliability, Datamint will be able to bring solutions to unstable exchange rates, cross-border payments, and enable multi-currency blockchain payments for users. In the words of Alex Christian, the CEO of Datamint, and quote, "With the massive adoption we're seeing in African and Latin American markets, this partnership supports both Datamint and Alibaba Cloud's emerging market strategies while solving major pain points for Alibaba's cloud customer base today." All right, so I'm not exactly sure what they are trying to achieve with this. I mean, I get the scope, but this is like uncharted territory. I don't think I've ever heard about it before, you know, trying to bridge a gap between cloud-based technology and Web3. But I do know that Datamint is already doing a lot in terms of providing infrastructure, Web3 infrastructure for a ton of the blockchain companies based in countries like Nigeria and Ghana and Kenya. And what they're trying to do is great stuff. You know, imagine partnering with Alibaba Cloud. Alibaba Cloud is huge, super huge. I feel like that would give them more coverage. And I do believe in whatever product it is they're trying to build. The end that they have in mind seems good. I mean, this is a whole new range of possibilities. And this is a whole lot of people to reach. 200 million is a lot of people. Moving on to the next headline, Cassava Network and PlayFest launch Africa's largest esports gaming league.
Registration to participate in the largest Web3 esports tournament will end on the 16th of November. This tournament will be hosted by the Cassava Network and PlayFirst and will span from the 18th to the 26th of November 2022. Gaming has become an integral part of African tech culture in a more prominent way, and what better way to sustain this culture and connect Africans globally than through events such as these that foster involvement and growth within the Web3 space. Sign up is free. Players stand a chance to grab a share from a $1,000 prize pool and receive unique NFT participation badges or POAPs that will be displayed on their Play First profiles. As a person who used to game quite heavily myself, it is always exciting to see people rising up to the fact that gaming is real, you know, and it's real in the sense that it can actually be a career for some people. There are people across the many, many oceans and the seas out there that are able to literally make an entire living. They live off of sitting there and being able to play games. And if they can do it, why can't we? And onto our last headline for this very tumultuous week, NetBank Golf Challenge tees off in the metaverse.
I mean, what is more fantastic in these tumultuous times than having golf in the metaverse? Now, golf is a top-tier sport, and NetBank will debut golf in the metaverse. NetBank is offering its fans an opportunity to partake in its NetBank Golf Challenge through virtual reality. NetBank recently announced its entry into Africa's first metaverse, Ubuntu Land, built by Africa Rare. This metaverse has so far been a success, with its aim being to unlock the full potential of Africans in the digital economy and to position Africa to play a more active role in the global digital economy. I mean, I feel like we're beginning to see a lot more of this, you know, fully well-established Web2 outfits or organizations trying to get in on the metaverse. I mean, MTN recently did that. They hosted a virtual concert in the metaverse, Web3, and we've seen a ton of more companies going into things like this. And now we see sports coming into the metaverse and sports coming into Web3, which is also huge because, you know, we've seen it done with music, we've seen it done with a couple other things, we've seen it done with games, and now we're seeing it being done with actual sports. And I feel like it will only get bigger and very hopefully better over time.
And that, of course, brings us to the end of this week's news summaries here. And of course, just remind you that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make the show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from. And if you can, please also do leave a review to let us know how it is that we can improve and how much you are enjoying the podcast so far. And of course, if you have any new updates on the current FTX situation, or if you have personally been affected, we would like to, you know, read your story and perhaps share your story with people so that they know that they are not alone, and so that you can perhaps know that you're not alone and you might be able to find somebody out there who could be able to assist you. My personal suggestion as well is that join the Telegrams and the Discords. Don't try to go at it alone. You know, there are so many people out there who are also affected, so don't try to go at that all alone. After all, we are our own wildest dreams when we work together with a hope of our own tomorrow. So until next time, be relentless.